On this Super Bowl weekend with all the hype and hoopla, it can be hard to imagine that football is actually losing popularity. But after a decade of publicity about brain injuries, many boys and their parents are choosing less risky sports like soccer or basketball. A national association that tracks high school sports found that participation in football programs has dropped by 6% over the last decade. There is an exception to this trend: low-income students. HBO reported this week that in one state, Illinois, participation in football by low-income high school students has actually risen 25% over the last 5 years. Albert Samaha has given a lot of thought to the reasons behind this. He's the author of the book Never Ran, Never Will: Boyhood and Football in a Changing American Inner City. And he's with us now. Albert Samaha, thanks so much for talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I understand that you played football yourself in college. How did you get started in the sport? And did you think about the risks when you were playing?
I did not think about the risks. You know, I got started in the sport, I think, in the most traditional possible way, which is that a lot of my older relatives, my cousins, my uncles watched the sport, played the sport. And I played football, basketball, baseball, like a lot of other kids. And I just happened to be best at football. And it really wasn't until lately that I've even thought about the long-term damage that could happen to me and whether I would ever want, if I had, you know, a son, to let that kid play football. I hadn't really thought of that before.
So you spent 2 seasons reporting on the Mobetter Jaguars, which is a Pop Warner team in Brownsville, Brooklyn. And I will confess that I'm familiar with this community because I grew up there. But tell me about the kids who were playing with this team and why. And one of the things that really intrigued me about your reporting is that you said that this is the first generation of players to really know the risks or to think about the risks. So just talk a little bit about the community and why kids play there.
Yeah, so, you know, Brownsville is kind of notorious for having the highest concentration of housing projects of any zip code in America. It's one of the, you know, more low-income communities in New York City and across America. And as you mentioned, for 2-3 years, I kind of embedded with these 10, 11, 12-year-old kids. And I think one of the things I found most interesting is that when I think a lot of people on the outside think about why kids play football, their assumption is, oh, well, you know, they're just putting all their hopes and dreams into these NFL aspirations. But I found that wasn't the case at all. That in fact, you know, these kids were playing not just because they wanted college scholarships, but because they wanted financial aid to some of the top private high schools in the city. And I think, you know, the reasons that football is so valuable to them is the fact that it's still the sport that's the most popular in America, that is getting the most money from high schools and colleges in America. And at a time when, you know, the educational gap continues to widen between, you know, low-income, particularly black and brown kids, and higher-income white kids, football offers a path to upward mobility that is not really available through any other extracurricular activities.
Why football? Why not other sports?
It's a numbers game. Football offers far more college scholarships than any sport. Even though football only covers boys and not girls, you know, there's more football scholarships available for boys than there are basketball and soccer and baseball scholarships available for boys and girls. Not to mention the fact that obviously basketball requires certain physical attributes, you know, a certain amount of height. Football, unlike other sports, doesn't require you to be a certain size or certain height. You can sort of play it whether you're, you know, overweight, whether you're underweight. There are different positions you can play. It's sort of the most, in some ways, meritocratic of all the sports available for these opportunities. You know, kids aren't going to get the same opportunities if they're really, really good at playing the trumpet or really, really good at chess, because this is where our society has decided to put its priorities.
So you talked about how the kids are very savvy. What about the parents? I mean, well, we'll talk about the kids and the parents. I mean, they've presumably heard about the risks of brain trauma that has been part of the conversation for the last, you know, decade. Are they aware of this?
They are aware of it. And I think to a lot of these kids and their parents, it's a luxury to worry about these long-term sort of abstract damages, right? Like to these kids and their parents, the dangers are all around them. The risks are all around them. The risks of not going to a good high school, the risks of not making it into college. So they have to kind of prioritize their needs. And they have these immediate needs to get into good schools and to have opportunities to reach upward mobility, that kind of those distant concerns of what may happen to their brain 20, 30 years down the line. It's a calculus that both the kids and parents have weighed and have decided that these long-term risks are worth putting up with these short-term advancements.
There was an article drawn from your book that you wrote for the New York Times back in September. And you talked about the ethical reckoning that this country has to face around football. What is that ethical reckoning in your view?
I think at the core of this is that the dangers of the sport will increasingly fall onto shoulders of low-income black and brown kids. The money from the sport is going to white coaches and white owners, white university presidents, and the dangers are falling on kind of the least privileged among us. So it's increasingly becoming this kind of gladiatorial dichotomy that we're seeing. And, you know, one question I think a lot of people wonder, or at least I wonder a lot, is whether the future of football. I think there's kind of three paths. Either it goes in this continuous path that it continues to be the most popular sport in America. It'll just be a higher proportion of poor kids and black and brown kids that are taking the burden of those risks. Or it'll become like baseball, where it'll just kind of slowly decline in popularity, maybe behind soccer and basketball. Or it'll become like boxing, where it loses both popularity and participation rates, and it's increasingly just kind of becoming a sport for the desperate.
That was Albert Samaha. He's the author of Never Ran, Never Will, Boyhood and Football in a Changing American Inner City. He was with us from the NPR Bureau in New York. Albert Samaha, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.